we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you. Happy Memorial Day. Pray that you are off and having a good time. I know not everybody gets today off, but hopefully you will enjoy it. I'm sure I have some grilled burgers in my future today, but the reason that we can do this is we can remember that there were people who paid the ultimate price so that you and I could live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. And so we are thankful for those who, some of them died young, some of them served and continued to serve. Families made sacrifices, parents made sacrifices. And so for all of those who've served and have gone on to their eternal reward, we are a grateful nation. And so I also want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air is based in Rockledge, Florida. They, for 50 years or so, have been providing professional sales and services for air conditioning issues, heating issues, and electrical problems. Air conditioners don't realize that it's a holiday, and so if yours goes out, you're going to want to get that taken care of as soon as possible. Make sure that you have a trustworthy and reliable and competent provider. If you don't have one, please consider the folks at Wyrick Air. Dennis is a pastor here in Central Florida, brings the principles of the word, not just to the pulpit, but to his business as well. They primarily work in residential settings. They do some light commercial work. They always strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. Their license numbers are RA0066854 and EC1300-2439. Even though they're based in Rockledge, they do travel all throughout Brevard County, so they can come to where your problem is, and we want to make sure that you stay safe and cool during the oppressive heat of summer. And so it might be good to have that number written down. WEIRICH. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. We thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. Let's go to, I'm going to read verses, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 today. And it says there, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." And so we've been talking last week about what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And then verse 19 concludes, according to the working of his mighty power. So this word, working, is related to the word that shows up in verse number 20 where it says worked. Worked there means to be at work or to be in action or produce. Where Friday we were talking about believing, which was a present and active situation, we see now that the power, the dunamis of God that he wants in operation in our life, is the best way we can understand it is through the divine energy or work product that God put in to raising Christ from the dead. It was him working in the anointed one. That's the way that God wants to work in us. Why would we want to restrict God to being a silent observer in our life instead of the ultimate authority in our life? Okay, there's a verse. I had never heard anybody emphasize this verse until I was praying. It's not like I'd never read it. It didn't mean that I hadn't studied it. I had never heard a personal application of this verse until I was facing a situation and God said, how's that situation going? Remember, if God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because you don't know the answer. And so I said, well, God, you know, I've been dealing with this situation for well over a decade, and we just keep going around this same mountain over and over and over again. It wasn't a situation with my wife or anything like that. We just keep dealing with this same thing again, not family related. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. If the Word of God says that wisdom is proved right by all her actions, what does that tell you about your actions? And the only answer at that point in time, when the problem is not being resolved, is that something that I'm doing isn't reflecting the wisdom of God, because the wisdom of God is always going to be seen as having the right outcome. And he said, well, if your way isn't bringing resolution, what do you say we try it my way? And then, I'm a pastor when he tells me this. So anytime anybody appeals to that they're the pastor, therefore they're perfect, I want you to know that I've had enough conversations with God to know that I'm not perfect, and neither is any other pastor. So I said, okay, well, I need to make an adjustment then to doing, what would you like me to do? Doesn't mean it was going to be easy. But when I began to have the wisdom of God dictate the actions that I took, the results ended up bringing glory and honor to God. So, the way that God wants to work in my life is with a demonstration of the same type of power and dominion and omnipotence that he exercised when he, or employed, maybe that's a better word for you, where he went to work on raising Christ from the dead. That's the way that God wants to be working his mighty power in us. According to the working of his mighty power. So here it is, the operative power. It is the way that his mighty power functions. So I tell people that I don't have to understand how everything works, as long as it works. And I may not understand how God is going to bring about the results out of a situation, but I trust him beyond my understanding. So if it works and I don't understand it, I'm perfectly okay with that. I am perfectly fine getting on an aircraft in one location and arriving at my desired destination and I don't understand the pedals. I don't understand the buttons. I don't understand the wing flaps. I don't understand the tail flaps. I don't understand the communication system. There is nothing about that situation that I understand. What I do understand or appreciate is that all of those things work because the person who designed them knew what they were doing. And as long as there is a person there who is doing the controls the way that they're supposed to be done, I can rest and be at ease and not have to worry one gray brain cell about what's going on. I'm thankful that it works. He gets me to where, or she gets me to wherever we want to go. So here is the way that God describes how he worked in Christ. The working of his mighty power. That means his strength, his might. This is not the word dunamis. This is a different Greek word. But in this passage, and by the way, the next word, power, is not dunamis either, and it's not exousia. What he's doing in this passage is he is using every Greek word that was available, whether it was authority or whether it was might or whether it was positional or whether it was strength, all of those different things, whether it was the force or the wisdom, or he encompasses all of that. He encompasses all of that. And here when it says the working of his mighty power, that is talking about his strength and might and his dominion and his eternal power. It's a double emphasis there. He uses words to describe similar things back to back. And so, you know, you hear a lot of times about people describing Elisha as praying and asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Well, God is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he is saying that every word that is known to describe power is ultimately represented and consolidated into the person and into the actions of God Almighty. And he said the best demonstration of that was when he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. And so there again, we see that he's a God at work. He's not sitting up there. He's not absent-minded. He hasn't forgotten where he's at or what he's supposed to be doing. He's not distracted by taking care of someone else. He is sovereign, and he is attentive to every person that he died on the cross to save, and that is every person on planet Earth. He is pursuing the lost. He is edifying the saints for the work of the ministry. He is tuned to the frequency of their cry. He is fully aware of the plight that they may face. He knows the thoughts that you think, the intents, and he hears every single solitary prayer that is prayed. So, what is possible in my life and your life? Did you know it's statistically a whole lot easier to have a baby than it is to raise the dead? There are a lot more babies born than there are physical resurrections. That's why when someone has died, and then they come back to life, it catches our attention because statistically, it happens a lot less frequently. So I was reading. No, I wasn't reading. I'm sorry. Wrong word. I thought it was an article I read, but it was something that I heard on the radio. Wasn't a Christian radio station either. But there was a doctor who had a child that died. Devastating loss. I've got family members on my side of the family and my wife's side of the family that's had that happen generationally in some places. I've got friends that have had that. It's an unimaginable loss. And this surgeon had a patient that he was operating on, and the patient died. But this guy had not given up on God, and they did everything in their power. They worked on this person for 45 minutes. They finally called the time of death, and the doctor was walking down the hall, and God spoke to him and said, "I want you to go back, and I want you to work on that person one more time." And originally he rejected it because he had worked on him for 45 minutes. And God said to him a second time, "I want you to go back in there, and I want you to shock his heart one more time." And they had shocked the heart repeatedly. He goes back in there and he prays and says, "Let's shock him one more time." And he was met with some opposition, and he said, "We're going to shock him one more time." And, you know, the resistance was, "We've already done that over and over and over again." They shocked him one more time, and the person came back to life. And they said, "Even if he comes back to life, he's going to be brain dead. He was without oxygen too long," but he wasn't. You see, our mind tends to want to limit what is possible in the natural world in which we live according to the power and the knowledge, the tools and the expertise that we have at our hands. But for believers, God wants to work in our life with the same supernatural embodiment of power that was at work when Christ was raised from the dead. And it was not that Jesus was just mostly dead. It wasn't that he came back to life while he was in the tomb. He had been beaten to a pulp. He had been nailed to a cross. He had been pierced in his heart. He had been certified dead by the people who knew dead better than anyone else. Placed in an environment where if you weren't dead, the environment would kill you if you were even close to dead. Jesus did not come back a living person with the same limitations that he had before. In other words, He was able to move around on his own. He was able to show up here and then show up there. His body still bore the nail prints. His side still bore the impression of the spear. But his back was no longer a bloody mess. He was whole. God has supernatural resources, and he wants to work in us supernaturally, not just in church on Sunday morning, but he wants to work in us supernaturally all throughout the day. Did you know that some of my greatest thoughts about God, about the sermons that I'm working on, the things that I'm studying. They come to me when I'm laying on my pillow at night trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden there's a deposit of spiritual gold that God brings to my attention. I have now learned through many such experiences to write that down or to make a note in my phone so that I don't forget. What situation do you face right now that looks worse or looks more hopeless than a crucified body, isolated and in a guarded tomb? I would dare say there's very little that can compare with that. So I want to make myself available for God to work in me with that same sort of dynamic power, omnipotence, dominion, lordship, strength, capability. The word mighty there, when you look that up in the Greek lexicon, it describes omnipotence. So, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his omnipotent, that means all powerful. They can't come up with a scale to measure the dynamic force. His omnipotence coupled with his power, his might. Again, this is a different Greek word. This is not dunamis. It's not exousia. Don't ask me to pronounce it. But it means his dominion and his manifest strength, his eternal power, and his power to hold on to or to seize. There is this tremendous spiritual truth that when we have come to believe and trust in God, that it is not just us holding on to him, but it is him holding on to us. I can tell you right now that if I came along and you had been involved in an accident and you were suspended and you were hanging on to a branch or something like that, that if I came along and I grabbed hold of you, grabbed hold of your arm to strengthen you, to sustain you, that's not going to bring you a tremendous amount of comfort. I do not look like a bodybuilder. I have better muscle tone than I have muscle strength. If I hold on to you for too long, the buildup in my muscles is of chemicals is going to get to the point where I'm going to run out of Bob strength. And so I realize that, you know, there are things in my life that, you know, I'd like to hold on to. You know, Jesus was abandoned by thousands of believers, and he turned to the disciples and he said, "Are you going to leave as well?" And Peter responded, "Where else would we go? You and you alone have the words of eternal life." And so when you realize that Jesus is the only place that we are going to find salvation and purpose and things like that, we hold on to him. you know, I see these movies and they say, my grip is getting weak. It's getting tired. I'm going to have to let go. It's like, you need to dig down deep and find something else and get some sort of grip on there, because letting go is not going to make you feel better. It's going to be lethal. With all of that emphasis on my limitations and your limitations, how reassuring is it to know that God's exceeding greatness of his power, of his might, and his dominion has him with a unbroken grip on us? That he has us, that we are secure, and he will never grow weary. His grip will never fail. One of the great things, I fell in love with studying the Word of God, not so much in Bible college, believe it or not, but I fell in love with studying the Word of God back in 1991 and 1992, when I was introduced to a computer Bible program. I think it was called the Free Online Bible or something like that. And it was like a concordance in digital format. And I was studying the Epistle of Jude, and I realized that God not only has hold of me, but he also keeps me. He also protects me from any spiritual forces that may try and operate beyond their authority. And he says, look, I'm going to keep the worst of your spiritual enemies in everlasting darkness. You don't have to worry about them. I've got them in solitary confinement. They're not going anyplace. I want to get your week started off with this truth. God's mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, is the same power he wants to work in your life and my life to bring glory and honor to him. May miracles come to pass in your life. Things that you had given up hope for, God hasn't forgotten. He's a God you can trust. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.